In the name of God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. Amen. Last week, I met with a Greek Orthodox friend, a gifted painter of icons, and I actually have purchased two of hers and hope to receive another one shortly. She had shown me around her church earlier this year, St. Demetrios Church in Windsor, so not very far away from here. As is common in Orthodox churches, the interior had many beautiful icons. It was crowded with them, in fact. Why are there so many in Orthodox churches, you might ask? And why so many depictions of saints? Well, partly as the Orthodox priest said to me, well, we have always had lots of icons because they tell stories, and the tradition of that goes way, way back through the centuries and in Greece, where many people were not literate, but they could learn about the stories in the gospel and the subsequent church through looking at the pictures and having them explained to them. And there's another reason. It's because the Orthodox love light. The icons are not artworks, but they are windows, small openings through which the light of God bursts. And Sarah Batchelar, the Anglican priest in Canberra, has written, in the light and prayers of the saints, the church is irradiated and sustained. I wonder if we could say that also about our stained glass windows. The saints have lived so close to God and so radically open to God and God's light and power that they actually shed something of God's own light. In a rather wonderful statement by Benjamin Myers, Australian theologian, he says, God looks at us through them. They are God's windows. So, like magnifying glasses, we might say the saints intensify God's self-communication. Well, there are many identified Orthodox saints. I asked my friend, how many? Oh, probably about 10,000 or so. And I looked up for the Roman Catholic Church too, similar number. And we in the Anglican Church, of course, we do hold saints' days. We hold St. John's Day. We have All Saints today. And we have other saints, but we don't celebrate the 10,000 like the Orthodox do, who read out their names week by week. Not the whole 10,000 at once, I might say. Well, my friend introduced me to a few of the Orthodox saints that I knew nothing about. Saint Natalie, Saint Arsenios, Saint Pazios. Now these, I looked them up, she gave me information, all lived humble lives. They were usually spiritual teachers, some were healers, and they were always faithful to the gospel and the love of Christ. Some, of course, were martyred for their faith. And another important point, they were often eccentric, a little bit to the side, a little bit, well, we're all a bit crazy, aren't we? But, you know, when you're that close to God, you might get a little bit crazy, mad with love. Well, as Malcolm Guite, UK priest and poet, says, it is good that we should have a season of the year for remembering saints when we can feel that the veil between time and eternity is thin, and we can sense that whole greater and wider communion of saints to which to which we belong. They surround us too as we celebrate the Eucharist. And can I say, it won't just be the Anglican saints that will be surrounding us. It's a whole company of heaven. But remembering those thousands of identified saints is not only what All Saints Sunday is about. Yes, it's about that. But it's also a day for particularly remembering those people we have known who reflected for us and to us the love of God in Christ. Really, in fact, most of us have probably met a saint or two over the last week. You may not have realised, but if you think back over your week, you might have. Well, there are lots of them about, but they're not easy to spot as saints because they are just ordinary people like us. So how many saints are sitting here in church today? Well, I wonder. St. Paul says in that letter to the Ephesians, doesn't he? He comments on the love of the church in Ephesus for all the saints, and he doesn't mean the company of heaven there. He means the people going to church, the church as they had it then. So these ordinary people might be people who, even though they experience struggles, are also grateful for blessings they have received, interested in others, living out their life in Christ with quiet joy. A saint, as Samuel Wells says, the UK priest and poet, is just a small character in a story that is always fundamentally about God. So, of course, that's very different to being a hero in our own stories, taking the central role in our own story. So, you probably have met a saint recently, and you might even be sitting next to one here. Love is the hallmark of a saint. Love is the power that reaches out through the horror of world events, the pure goodness of love overcoming evil. And there's plenty of that around. Psalm 149 today is a joyful response to this wonderful reality of God's power, God's authority that ultimately prevails. So we can sing on our beds, as the psalmist says, and be joyful, for God delights in us and is always reaching out to us to give us new life and hope. Now, hope and new life throb through the gospel also. Jesus operates from the overflowing love and compassion of God. Jesus heals, takes time to talk about how God is intimately concerned with those who are afflicted and traumatized. So in Jesus, people are given a future that they didn't even know existed. In Luke's gospel, those called blessed are those who have no choice in their disadvantaged situations. We also have the Beatitudes in Matthew's Gospel. They're more spiritualized. The ones here are really down to earth and practical. So Jesus promises that God will be faithful to the disadvantaged and reverse their situations. That is why these Lucan Beatitudes have been called a deeply subversive text. Provocative, outrageous, where the word blessed is not associated with the wealthy, the healthy, and the most powerful, but in fact, the very opposite. So for the marginalised, the ignored, the abused, there's a new feature that no one thought was possible, and it's only possible because God is God and God is faithful, always to promise newness. God is always the creator, creating new things out of situations that are stale and old. Well, ordinary saints know this and want to act for others through the energy of God's love that has been given to them. Saints, we might say, humanise the world through their vulnerable openness to God and to the needs around them, just as Jesus did. So, none of us become saints through wanting to be noticed or taking the limelight or not listening to others, but through, in a very ordinary way, being joyful and grateful while accepting the challenge to live a life of love in the steps of Jesus. Philip Larkin, the poet, said, "What will survive of us is love." So have you met a saint this week? Perhaps you have, and perhaps you are even one yourself. So I conclude with a prayer that the late Father Brian Porter, Anglican priest and Melbourne Grammar chaplain, gave to me once when he'd entered aged care and I took him Holy Communion. And this was a prayer he had developed and often quoted. God of love, help us to be so mindful of the love from whence we came that we might learn more of the love to which we go, and in this love abounding, daily abide. Through Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen.